Hello and welcome to online worship this holy Christmas Eve. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If you're new here, perhaps checking us out for the first time, we are delighted that you're with us. Perhaps you'll join us again. Even though we cannot be together in body, please join with us in spirit, together with the worldwide church, as we come to worship Jesus, our Messiah, the one who saves, and celebrate his birth anew. We hope that you will find some features in this service that are familiar, comforting, and joyous. Towards the end of the service, we will be doing as we've done before and lighting a candle from the Christ candle and sharing it best we can from our homes with each other and with our community. So you may want to pause this recording, get some candles prepared. In each of the last 4 weeks during the season of Advent, we have lit a new candle at the wreath, representing a major theme in our life with Christ. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. We light this candle because Jesus, the light of the world, was born on this day, and he brightens all things. Joy to the earth, the Saviour reigns. We begin now with the Nativity story, retold for us by Diane. The narration is interspersed with carols, and we encourage you to sing along. So settle in and enjoy.
This tonight is the meeting place of heaven and earth. For this tonight is the stable in which God keeps his appointment to meet his people. Not many high are here, not many holy, not many innocent children, not many worldly wise, not all familiar faces, not all frequent visitors. But if tonight only strangers had met, that would have been enough. For Bethlehem was not the hub of the universe, nor was the stable a platform for famous people. In an out-of-the-way place which people never thought to visit, there God kept and keeps his promise. There God sends his Son.
Lost.
This all happened 2,000 years ago. You might be tempted to think it was a very different time, and in many ways it was. But people who lived then weren't actually that different from how we are now. And so the events of that night, which were so unbelievable for those who were there, would be equally as spectacular and confounding to us if they were happening here today. Mary was a very young woman, still a teenager. She lived in an out-of-the-way part of Israel during a time when it was occupied by the Roman Empire. Mary was engaged to be married to a carpenter from Nazareth named Joseph. Naturally, she was both excited and nervous about all of the changes that she expected would come when she was married. In reality, as we will hear, she had no idea just how much her life was about to change. And she really couldn't possibly have known just how the changes that would come into her life would also have the potential to affect the future of the entire world. One day before she and Joseph were married, Mary was visited by an angel named Gabriel. He did what angels are known for doing and brought a message from God. The angel told Mary that God had chosen her to be the mother of a very special child, a child who would somehow be both her son and also at the same time God's son. Gabriel explained that Mary's son would have a very special life and calling. It was all more than Mary could possibly understand. But she loved God, and she trusted that God's ways are good and loving. So she bravely agreed to do as God had asked. When he first heard that she was pregnant, Mary's fiancé, Joseph, was understandably upset. After all, he knew full well that the baby she was carrying couldn't possibly be his. So it wasn't long before God sent an angel to make another visit, this time to Joseph. The angel explained what was happening and told Joseph that God was calling him to his own very special part in this plan. Just as Mary had done, with the angel's encouragement, Joseph agreed to be part of this amazing thing that God was doing. Even though the life they were embarking on wouldn't be easy, Mary and Joseph both said yes. Yes to God, and yes to each other. And so, facing a somewhat unfathomable future, they began their life together. Not long before Mary was due to give birth, the Roman governor called for a census to be taken so that heavier taxes could be levied on the people of Israel. In order to be counted, everyone needed to return to the towns that their families had come from. Joseph's family were descended from King David, so he and a very pregnant Mary made the 90-mile journey to David's hometown of Bethlehem. The census meant that the towns were busy, so when Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, they discovered that there was no place for them to stay. The only accommodation they could find was a stable, a small shelter behind an inn where animals were kept. The young couple didn't really have another choice, so they took it. It was clear that Mary was about to give birth. The angel had told her that her baby would one day be a king, but it turned out that his first days would be spent in some place much more humble than a palace. It may have been short on luxury, but that stable was not short on love. The owner of the inn cleared out the animals and carefully made a place for the young mother to rest. He even cleared out a manger and filled it with fresh, dry straw for the baby who was on the way. In that strange place, Joseph and Mary were all on their own. There were no other women or midwives to support Mary while she gave birth, so Joseph stayed right by her side. Sometime during that night, the tiny baby who had been promised was born. In many ways, he was quite ordinary, with nothing particular to distinguish him as God's son. But those visits from the angels months before had changed everything for Mary and Joseph, and as they looked into his little face, they knew that they were part of something amazing God was doing. The story we read in the Bible doesn't mention whether any of Joseph's extended family from Bethlehem might have come to see or help he and Mary. But it does tell us that not long after Jesus was born, the young family received some unexpected and unusual visitors. It seems that at that same time, in some fields not too far from Bethlehem, there were some shepherds who were doing what shepherds do, taking care of their sheep and ensuring they were safe from predators. As those shepherds settled in at the end of the day, they received their own visit from yet another of God's angels. Just as it had been for Mary and Joseph, the sudden appearance of that angel was a bit of a shock. We're told that the shepherds were actually scared at first. Why would God send an angel to them? The angel told them not to be afraid and said he was bringing wonderful news of a great and joyful event that was meant for everyone worldwide. He told them that on that very night, a baby had been born, a baby who was the king everyone had been waiting for, the king God was sending to rescue the world and set things right at last. It was phenomenal news. Centuries before, prophets had said that this king would come one day. Could it really be that this angel had come to announce this amazing event through some humble, small-town shepherds? The angel must have known how hard it would be for the shepherds to believe all of this, so he told them exactly where they would find this baby, with details he could only know if it was really true. He said, "Go into Bethlehem and see for yourselves. You will find a newborn baby swaddled in cloths and laying in a manger in a simple stable." And with that, the sky was filled with the voices of angels celebrating what God was doing and singing glory to God in the highest. As difficult as it must have been for them, those humble shepherds dared to believe what the angel had told them. So they gathered their things and made their way to Bethlehem to search the dark streets to see if they could find this tiny baby who somehow carried the hope of the world. It must have been a very strange scene, a rough-looking group of shepherds making a visit to that brand new family whose only shelter was a simple stable. In many ways, it was strange because the circumstances and the people involved seemed so completely ordinary. And yet what was happening in the middle of all of that ordinariness was also absolutely spectacular. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were all probably resting when they first heard the movement and voices outside the stable. Joseph was likely awake in an instant, protective of his wife and their new baby. Who were these fellows, saying they had come to see their newborn son? And how on earth had they found out about his birth? Seeing their confusion and concern, one of the shepherds explained about the angel who had appeared to them in the fields. He told Mary and Joseph what the angel had said, and about how he had told the shepherds where to find the Holy Family. Then the shepherd described the amazing experience of seeing the sky filled with light and hearing those angelic voices singing of the wonderful news. As Mary and Joseph listened, their minds must have been drawn back to remember their own visits from God's angels and how those experiences had changed everything. The shepherds' faces had reflected exactly what they were feeling in their own hearts. There was wonder. There was belief. There was tender love. And there was hope. So much hope. Hope enough for the whole world. So much wrapped up in that tiny person who would come to be known for all time as Emmanuel, God, here with us.
Sure. reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You shall find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Please join me in prayer. Good, loving and gracious God, when the world was dark and the city was quiet, you came. You crept in beside us, and no one knew. Only a few who dared to believe that God might do something different. Will you do the same this Christmas, Lord? Will you come into the darkness of tonight's world? Not the friendly darkness, as when sleep rescues us from tiredness, but the fearful darkness in which people have stopped believing that war will end, or food will come, or that a government will change, or a vaccine will work, or that the church cares. Will you come into that darkness and do something different to save your people from death and despair? Will you come into the quietness of this town? Not the friendly quietness as when lovers hold hands, but the fearful silence when the phone has not rung, the letter has not come, the friendly voice no longer speaks, the doctor's face says it all. Will you come into that darkness and do something different? Not to distract, but to embrace your people. And will you come into the dark corners and the quiet places of our lives? We ask this not because we are guilt-ridden or want to be, but because the fullness our lives long for depends on us being as open and vulnerable to you as you were to us when you came, wearing no more than diapers and trusting human hands to hold their maker. Will you come into our lives if we open them to you and do something different? When the world was dark and the city was quiet, you came. You crept in beside us. Do the same this Christmas, Lord. Do the same this Christmas. We ask all of this in the name of the one you sent to to be God here with us. Amen. We have gathered to celebrate the coming of the light, the babe in Bethlehem, Jesus, the Messiah, to signal peace and goodwill to all the earth. As we each receive the light from Christ in the places where we are, let's remember all who yearn for a word from God, and all who gaze into the night sky, hoping and longing, listening for an angel's song. The people who've walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the deepest night are lit up with a brilliant light. Unto us a child has been born, a son is given. The spread of his influence and his peace will never end. So, dear friends, go out into the world with great joy. And may the grace of Bethlehem's matchless child, and the love of God who never ceases to amaze, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit who never wearies, be with you all on this holy night and always. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone.